This is Sounding Board Parenting, creating healthier human connections through the commonality of parenting, exploring the world of parenting with high-performing mums and dads from a range of backgrounds, industries, and family dynamics.
He said, the whole world looks different.
You can do it your way.
My life has been fundamentally altered by their existence.
I gotta tell you, kids don't stop learning.
That is how I change the story.
Babies are instant community generators.
My growth curve just like shot up after I had a kid.
I wasn't planning any of it.
Let's jump in 3, 2, 1.
Karen, it is awesome to have you on the Sounding Board Parenting podcast. I'm really excited for our chat today. And before we dive into that, I'd love if you could introduce yourself and just tell us a bit about yourself along with the names and ages of your children.
Of course. Thanks for inviting me, Sean. It's great to be here and I'm really looking forward to the conversation. So I'm Karen Dennett and I am the founder and director of Engaging Education. So we connect industry with high school teachers to enrich the learning and provide that real context. I'm also a mum to 3 very busy children. So we have Millie, who's 16. We have Jack, who's 14, almost 15. And Harry, who's 8.
That is cool. I'm really keen to touch on the career space with you at some point as well. And before we do that, I'd love to know, what roles do you feel like you currently play in life?
I think I mentioned a while ago on one of your posts, actually, I think it's more a case of the roles that I don't play. It's probably smaller. So I think I'm probably, I'm obviously mum, negotiator. I'm counsellor. I'm organiser. I'm event planner. I'm cook, cleaner. And this is obviously in the home, in family.
And this is all under that mum role.
All under the mum role. Obviously taking care of the house, taxi, and just sort of generally making sure that stuff happens. That's pretty much my responsibility. And then obviously on top of that, I'm dog walker, cat and dog feeder. I'm walker, and so I pretty much do everything in the house and take care of the kids, make sure they're good, take them to their sports, organize everything for them. Oh, and I forgot about laundry as well, and laundry. So pretty much everything, and obviously working as well.
How do you do it?
People say that quite a lot, actually, and sometimes I feel like saying, please don't ask me that. Just come round and cook tea one night.
I'll put it down on here in the show notes. Anyone out there, please go around and cook dinner one night for Karen and the family.
Don't admire me. Come and help me.
that is a fair point. And to extend on that, I'd love to know, and I'm curious to know, how has parenting changed your life, Karen?
Obviously, I think it's, I believe that being a parent is actually a privilege, and it's not just, anyone can get pregnant, but I don't think everyone can necessarily parent. I know that sounds really harsh, but, I think it's for me, it's been challenging, but, there's so much in the past when we were kids, it was almost about, you have to be grateful for everything you've given and you have to, this has all been done for you. But actually, when we have kids, it is quite a selfish choice, really. We do it because we want to have kids and we want to look after kids and we want to have them and we want to create that legacy and we want to, we do it really for ourselves. It's great to give life and everything, but we are ultimately having children because we want to have children. And I think to be able to have them and have that joy and to be able to watch them grow up and to be able to support them and do those things for them, I actually think is a privilege that some people don't get the opportunity to have. It has changed my life. It's made me very, very mindful. Things that I sort of take for granted, like some sort of throwaway comments and things. Yeah. And then I realize that the impact of some of the things that I say on other people. It's made me mindful. It's made me kind of like more organized, but then less organized at the same time. It's improved my life. It's enriched it. But it's also been really, really hard as well.
What does it feel like to reflect on that? Like you said a few things there around it's made you more mindful. I'm interested to know what you mean by that.
I think over the last couple of years, I've been spending a lot more time really reflecting and sort of thinking not just about, you know, events that happened to you or to me rather, but actually what is my involvement in that and how have I manifested those situations that I'm now in. And it's so easy, I think, to look at external reasons and blame and look at things that have happened to you rather than looking at what your responsibility and role has been. And I think I've become a lot more open to feedback from my children, especially my teenagers, because there's a lot of stuff that they've told me, and I've suddenly become aware of some of my actions and just some of the things that I say that I think are quite harmless, and I think are just me, you know, just organizing and making a point and being, you know, maybe a bit frustrated in the morning, but the impact that that has on them is huge. So when being mindful, it's actually about looking at yourself and also being open to feedback and also thinking about what can I do to make sure that my relationships are really good, as opposed to just expecting other people to change their behavior to suit me, if that makes sense.
It does. And before I go into my thoughts around that you've definitely brought up, I just want to acknowledge you for sharing that and being so open about that as well. I think that is really cool. And just around what you said towards the start of that, around owning those choices and owning those decisions is something that I think is awesome, and it takes courage all in one, because it can be so much more easier to hand over that power in the form of blame or whatever it might be over to something external. And I was actually only having a chat earlier this morning on another podcast about this topic, around we hand over our power of choice and decisions so easily, and it can usually lead to the detriment of our own well-being as well, and potentially those around us, especially children. So just to hear someone else in yourself say that you've got to a point where you've got some more awareness around you are here mainly, or you are here because of the decisions that you've made along the way, and owning those choices, I think that's really cool. So thank you for sharing that.
That's okay. It's been a long journey.
Yeah. And it's still evolving.
Yes. And they change all the time. I mean, just when you think you've got it sorted, then something else happens, or, you know, we're at a new stage, you know, moving into teenagers or moving into, you know, now young adults. And it's always a new challenge, and it is completely new when you're a parent. And it's so easy when you're younger, because you've just fresh face. And I remember I used to blame my parents all the time, you know, oh, why can't you do this? Why don't you do that? And, you know, you just do the very best you can with what you have and the knowledge you have at the time. And I'm sort of, just realizing the challenges. But I think the mindful approach is definitely making a big difference in terms of, you know, being able to stop reflect, okay, what happened there? Okay, what can we do differently? And instead of sort of rushing into that sort of conflict and that, but you said, but he said, but you did, and you know, that sort of conflict, it's like actually being able to say, right, okay, space, and let's think about it, and then go back in and then have that conversation. And it's really hard to do when you're really emotional, but you know, it does make a difference.
Yeah, just in terms of what you said, it is difficult to do when we're emotional. We get caught in that survival mode a lot still, don't we, in terms of that fight or flight. And I feel like it's compounded as a parent, especially for children who, I mean, it's been proven now through science and neuroscience in particular, how they're not capable in a lot of ways of doing anything else rather than fight or flight in those situations. And I think it's a cool experience when you get to that point where you realize that you do have some power in terms of being able to simply bring awareness to that thought that you might be having, which sounds like it definitely forms a part of that mindful approach that you're talking about. And I'm curious to go back in time a little bit in terms of the story behind the moment you found out you were going to be a mum for the first time.
Well, it was actually, it was nice, but it was also quite scary, because when I was pregnant with Millie, my first, I'd already had 3 failed pregnancies. So by the when I was pregnant again, which was obviously the 4th time with Millie, it was very much, it was almost like, this is great, but I can't enjoy it. I can't really celebrate it, because I don't really know if things are going to work and if everything's going to be okay. So there was always those milestones. And I think a lot of sort of mums who have been pregnant have experienced this. You know, you're like, okay, I'll get to this number of weeks, and yep, that's okay, and I know this has happened, and you know, 24 weeks, yeah, it's viable. You know, if I was to, you know, if anything happened, it might work, you know, and then yep, this is good. And then you get through the birth, and then you just spend most of your time worrying about, you know, are they still breathing, are they okay, because it's your first baby as well. And you just, wow, this is like, what is actually, you know, it's just, it seems to be one thing after the other. But then obviously by the time you get to the third, you're just swinging them around on your hip and not bothered. You know, you're just like, yeah, this is fine. But that first time, it is, it's so special, because, you know, you're just so, you've never done it before. So it's scary and special. And I guess for like, well, for like most mums, the first feeling is that fear of, oh no, this is going to have to come out.
That's a conversation that I've had over and over with Jess, just around, yeah, as a male in that situation, in that journey, I can't comprehend that. One bit you try, and like you try to listen and understand in that sense, but there's parts of it, like the part that you're describing, where you have no, you can't comprehend. But one piece of advice that I did get early on, which is actually from my mum, was just be there and support in yeah, whatever way you can. And I think that's the important part that I've taken out of it. And in terms of, who knows in the future with more potential children, is just being there to support wherever I can. And that doesn't mean with everything, because there's some things that I can't, because I just can't comprehend them as well. But that's, it's been a learning for sure.
Yeah, it's, and there's certain things when you're pregnant with your first, and you know, I do feel a bit sorry for guys, really, because you don't get this experience. But the first feeling of when you feel the ripples in your belly, and you can feel that movement inside, and it's just so incredible. It's just amazing to feel something growing inside. And, you know, even like seeing little movements on your stomach and seeing things poking out. And, you know, yeah, that's just, it's such an incredible experience and such an incredible journey, really. And, you know, I think I do feel sorry for guys because you are kind of like on the outside a bit with that.
That is beautifully described, just around, yeah, around that experience. I appreciate you sharing that. And and I suppose, though, looking at it in the way that it is what it is, it's enjoying being a part of it anyway. Like from a male perspective, it was early on, yeah, sort of concern that I can't support in the way that you like, because you're not physically a part of it in a lot of ways, like you just described. But there are so many other ways that you can support and be a part of it through that journey. And I think it's, for me, it was just about being open to whatever that may be and whenever that may be, and just, yeah, making the most of those moments as well. And then there is plenty of time to come to be physically a part of it in a lot of ways when that child is born I was talking about again, like on this podcast this morning, we were just talking about how we've always, well, I've always thought of it, especially before Oscar was born, as though being a parent, whether it's dad or mum, I'm going to be the one that is teaching everything. And I've been pleasantly surprised and unexpectedly surprised around the teachings that he has delivered to me in the short couple of years and the quick couple of years that he's been here. And I'm interested as well, what learnings do you think you've taken from your kids in your journey as a parent so far?
I think I've learned so much as well, like you say, that they just say things. And, you know, even Harry will every now and again say, you know, yeah, most parents do let a little naughty word out from time to time, but mum, you're not allowed to swear. And, you know, or, you know, well, that wasn't very nice, was it? And I'm actually, no, it wasn't. Thanks for pointing that out. They've taught me to, you know, enjoy the little things as well. You know, when you're a busy parent, you're constantly worried. You know, you're worried when you're working that you're not spending enough time with the kids, and you're worried when you're not working that you're not working enough to make enough money to pay for things. And, you know, you always seem to be sort of guilty and drawn between two different times. But what I feel that I've learned with the kids as well is that it's not about having massive fun times. You know, it's great to have holidays and things, but a lot of it is those interactions every day. So, you know, the bath times and the, you know, just going in every morning and saying good morning, and, you know, making sure that you're just like little things, like putting little nice things that they like in their packed lunchbox. Recognizing that you know, for them as well, recognizing that you're listening to them and that you understand them and that you hear them, and that you're not I forget everything, and making sure that I remember the things that are important for them to do is huge. And also just sort of being there for them and saying, oh, you know, well done, and, you know, that was really good, and giving them that praise, and just being really mindful, like I said before, about the words that you, the communication and the words you use. I think my daughter referred to it as throwaway comments. So, you know, when sometimes we start a sentence and we say, you know, oh, you probably don't care, but I just thought I'd let you know that I did such and such. And you think that you've actually, you think maybe like you're being a bit, oh, you know, I know you probably don't care, you know, but, and you think that you're saying, oh, you know, you're being really nice and you're explaining what you've done, but that you probably don't care can actually be perceived as an insult, or you're criticizing them, and, oh, you're saying I don't care about anything. And, you know, you've walked away and thought, you don't even realize what you've said. And so those sorts of lessons and being really mindful of what you're saying, how you're saying it. So it's made me, I think, probably a better communicator, made me more, you know, they've taught me quite a few lessons. And they've also taught me how old I am at the moment, because my son, my 14, almost 15 year old son, has me listed on his mobile phone as Boomer. Yay. So actually, they taught me. A boomer is apparently baby boomer, but I keep explaining that's my parents' generation. That's not me. I'm boomer. I'm like, how can you? So I've gone from like being the source of information and questions to being the person that knows nothing. So
it sounds like it can change very quickly. And before we chat a bit more about that, I'm curious to know, you were talking about before it, they've helped you remember some of those small moments or be mindful and enjoy those small moments. Do you have any way that you try and stay in touch with those small moments or being able to remember them in terms of reflecting? Is there any way that you try and focus on that?
Yeah, well, I did. I actually wrote a children's book deliberately because I knew they wouldn't remember them. So story time for us was always a really important time because I was a busy teacher, and that sort of bedtime routine and then sitting down and reading a couple of stories before bedtime was sort of real. It was just that 100% attention on them. Nothing else, no devices, you're just reading a book. And, you know, all the things that they used to like, you know, like the Mr. Men books, Mr. Jelly and the Pirates, and, you know, some of the things that we used to like about going to the coast and stuff. And I decided that I wanted to write a children's book that they could share with their kids when they're older. And it would include everything that we really liked, what they liked as kids in stories. And it would be almost like a legacy and a memory of that time. So yeah, so I wrote that and self-published it, and I've written it.
What's
for
that
Lily.
Called, Karen?
It's called Stanley and Jim on a Proper Adventure. So it's written in rhyme because they like the Gruffalo, so we wrote it in rhyme. And then it's about a mouse who loves his cheese and crackers and his surfing, and he goes off on an adventure because his cousin Jim turns up and tells him his life's boring. And so he goes on the high seas and lots of things happen. And he winds up wondering, why did I ever doubt that my life was great anyway? So, but it's a little bit like the Town and Country Mouse, but it's all about pirates and ocean and sort of disaster. So yeah, it's and that's something for them now that they can keep forever.
It's a beautiful story, and I think it's awesome on multiple fronts. One, like you said, that potential for it to be that opportunity whenever they want, whether it's now or into the future, to just check back into some of those moments, whether it's when they have their kids or who knows down the track when they have their grandkids. I think that's really cool. And even on the story in particular, I mean, everything is open to its own interpretation by different individuals. And I remember after I read the story for the first time, and even since then, that the meaning behind the story, the meaning that I've chosen to attach to it, means different things as well. And it would mean probably something different to me than it would for Oscar. And yeah, to me, it does mean being able to expand our perspective and being open to different possibilities, and that there isn't just this one fixed path. And even though it's through a children's book, it's so applicable. Like I've applied it, that sort of approach or that thinking to my life as well. And that's something that's really important for Sounding Board Parenting, for example, is to keep challenging not only myself, but all of those that are involved and want to be involved and that are aligned with what we're about is just constantly being open to expanding that perspective. Yeah. And I think, I just want to say, I don't think I've said this before, but I think that's something that the story really does make clear as well and encourage. So thank you for writing that as well.
It was an interesting weekend. I wrote the first draft in a weekend while the children were having a Pirates of the Caribbean marathon. And I wouldn't say I'm like really rubbish at writing, but I've never written a children's book. And but having read so many with the kids, you know, the rhyme, and there was a lot of Googling what rhymes with, you know, and trying to bring it together. But yeah, it was, I'm really happy just to be able to have that to share with the kids. And, you know, it kind of makes you feel good to feel that you've created that almost like that legacy for them. And I, you know, for them, the thought of them being able to share story time with their kids, which is what obviously I loved with them, is just, that just makes me feel really good. So yeah,
it's awesome. I encourage anyone out there, parent or not, to look into it, because I think it has some cool little lessons in there as well for anyone that's open to it, and to sort of make a sharp left out of that into what impact has parenting had on your career, Karen?
I read a quote once. I'm all about quotes, so sorry, I'll keep referring to quotes and things. Please. That I've read. So I read a quote once and it said, as a working parent, one is expected to parent as if one didn't work and to work as if one didn't parent. And that pretty much sums up. I actually found it even really a lot harder, because for quite a large number of years, Wayne was working FIFO 10 weeks away at a time. So what that meant was that I was pretty much doing everything on my own, and I was teaching full time when Millie and Jack were younger and Harry was born. And so I was working full time as a teacher, but we were in the UK at the time, and there was a lot of pressure with marking 120 books to mark every 3 weeks. There was planning, there was you know, meetings and after school classes, and I was still looking after the kids and making sure that they had their time, hence why obviously story time was really important. And I think as a parent, you want to, well, I did anyway, I think it's a choice, but I wanted to show them that you can do anything you want and you can achieve anything you want. And I think that I made myself put too much pressure on myself. And on reflection, I kind of think that I could have done things a lot differently. Now, if I was to advise any other working parents, I would probably say, try to learn to work smart and not work hard. Because working hard isn't necessarily, you know, a great attribute if it means that you're burning yourself out. You know, it's good to be a hard worker, but you still have to be able to balance that with your kids and your life.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm interested to dive into that more, in terms of how else do you think a person could handle this situation, because it is something abundantly clear that's just more and more common these days, in terms of whether it's a single parent, whether it's two working parents, which seems like it's on the up in a lot of ways. Time for a short reflection break. This is an opportunity for you to stop, take a breath, and reflect on your past week as a parent. If you have a pen and paper near you, that's great. If not, simply use your phone or laptop. I want you to write down three things. First, Write down one moment in the past week that you were proud of yourself as a parent. Second, write down one area of your parenting that you would like to improve for the next week. Third, write down one moment from the past week where your child or children have made you smile. Be kind to yourself and enjoy the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, I think kind of being able to, if it's really hard because you've got to be able to identify that this is really hard. And I think most parents can probably say the first year you look back and you're like, whoa, what happened? You're in survival mode and you're learning and you're getting on with it and you just deal with it. And I think that's what kind of happens when you're working and you're looking after the kids, is that you're in this constant doing and functioning and survival mode that you don't realize until 5-10 years down the line that you're completely burnt out and you're exhausted. And then, you know, you feel not resentful, but you feel a little bit, what have I done all that for? In terms of, you know, nobody's grateful, nobody really appreciates it. I've done all these like daily tasks and all this work, and you know. And yeah, you just feel like I'm just burnt out now. And I think to be able to plan ahead and before, you know, when you're having kids, when they're young, you know, having somebody to be able to say, you know, think about what you're going to do. You can still work, but work smart, work effectively. How can you get the most amount of money from what you're doing so that you can live comfortably, but without, you know, and still be able to plan that time in for your kids and time for you. And just making sure that you do look after yourself, because I think I worked when I was teaching and Wayne was away. Every day was like from up at 6 and I would be marking and planning until 1 o'clock in the morning after the kids had gone to bed. So, and that was every day. And then in the school holidays, you're still preparing and marking. I'd be sat at the rugby pitch marking. I'd be taking everything with me to swimming, and then I'd be running around and I was trying to do everything. So I would say, try to work smart, try to balance everything, plan ahead, and just, if you can, I know it's hard, try and work in time for yourself as well, even if that means, you know, just that half an hour in the morning, you just sit down and have a coffee and you relax. But yeah, I'm waffling, aren't I?
No. I appreciate your honesty with that as well. And hindsight's a wonderful thing that we have in our lives. Yeah. If you could do it over again, so you're saying be smarter about it or work smarter, not harder. Mm. If you could do it over again, reflecting on that period of your life, what would you do differently?
I think I would definitely work. I would have worked more part-time. I would have looked at the jobs that I do that take up a lot of my time that I could be getting somebody else to do. I think I personally didn't push the kids to do as many chores. And that was mainly, again, not because I didn't think that they should be doing them, because it, you know, and I could have won the battle if I really wanted to. They would have done it. But I think it was mainly because it was always, it's quicker if I do it myself, you know, because if they wash up, they're probably going to leave dirt all over everything and I'm going to have to do it again anyway. So I might as well just get on and do it. Or, you know, you take everything on yourself and you feel like it's all your responsibility. So I think sitting down and literally writing out everything that I do on a daily basis and then looking at what I can hand over to other people, and also being able to lose a little bit of control, because I think as a parent, you start to become a little bit of a control freak. And, you know, you want everything done in a certain way, and you're always trying to make things work. And if you can look, if you're willing to hand some of that over, and you can think about the things, and also thinking, is that really important? Do I really need to get that done right now? You know, is anybody going to die if that doesn't happen? You know, and just, yeah, I think you need to have that check in with yourself and go through all those things and not put that pressure on yourself. That's what I do differently anyway.
It sounds like reflection has definitely become more prominent for you, and bringing it back to this moment now with those lessons that you've just described. You are now a founder of a business, of a company that I think has a bright future, is already doing awesome work, and yet you're obviously still a parent. And with that in mind, and with those lessons in mind, what is exciting to you about this now, about taking those learnings and moving forward with them?
With what I'm really excited about, and another thing about this, about being mindful, is children, well, mine have said to me that I don't think they're really that worried about what you do. And I always thought about being a role model was huge. But what I've learned is that if you're providing for them, if you're listening to them, if you're paying attention to them and you're being their mum or their parent or their dad, that it doesn't matter what job you're doing. So what I'm excited about is actually, I know that this business is great. I didn't mean it like that, but you know, I'm not showing off, but I think it's a great opportunity, but it's an opportunity for me to start achieving some of the things that I want to achieve. So I want to make a difference. I want to make an impact. And of course I want my children to say, oh, wow, you know, look what mum's done. But at the same time, I'm excited for what that's created for my career and my future, because my children are, you know, they're all going to move on and they're going to find their own way. But you still have to have something for yourself for when that happens. So I'm quite excited that I can still continue to do that, make a difference. And hopefully in the future, one day they might look back and go, you know, isn't it great? You know, and they feel that they could achieve things themselves as well. And so, yeah.
That is really cool. Is there anywhere that you are feeling pressure right now as a parent?
Yeah, I think it's trying to be everything. Just trying to be everything to everyone. They're the three of them. When you've got three, you always feel like you're not giving enough time to each of them. And then you've got teenagers who actually don't want to spend time with you anyway. And then you've got to that point where you're trying to push your time on them. Oh, come on, have a chat with me.
Don't want to.
You know, so I think trying to give them all the time and the energy. Money is a huge one. Teenagers, they kind of want a lot of things, and you feel really bad if you have to say no, because you just genuinely can't pay for that. And that feels really bad because you want to do these things for them and you can't necessarily. So I think just being able to spend time with all of them. And I'm terrible at making my son remember his homework because I've got a really forgetful memory. So that's another thing, is and remembering special days at primary school, that's a killer for me. You know, when we go in and he's in school uniform and everyone's not. I was like, ooh, like neon sign, bad mum.
Just what you were saying around the kids wanting things, which is inevitable. And especially in a place where we live, like Australia, I think it's something, because there is so much abundance of especially materialistic things in our lives. It's something that as a child who is obviously highly influential, it's all around them. So that in a way makes sense to me as well. And just on what you were saying with that though, And I think it was preceded by you talking about spending time with them.
Mm.
That's something I admire is someone who's brought awareness to the fact that, yeah, even though you may not be able to buy those things, those material things that may bring them joy in the short term, that time to me correlates stronger with a person, an adult later in life that is able to cope with situations maybe in a more rational way as well, in terms of their relationships in life, whether that be romantic, whether that be just in the workplace, whether that be with friends, compared to, let's say, they got all those things that they wanted all of the time. To me, that potentially, I'm just assuming here, but that potentially could lead to someone who's more inclined maybe later in life to give that power over to the external in the form of,
yeah,
this is what I rely upon in terms of my emotional power. Whereas that saying no to me, who knows, might be, without them even knowing it, creating some some resilience in some way, or just some time to look internally again, even though they might not know it in that moment. I think that's really cool. So yeah,
well, they certainly value the things they have. I mean, I did a super cheap camping trip up to Exmouth, and we took Jack's friend as well, and so I had three teenagers and Harry, and drove I drove on my own with them up to Exmouth. And it was like the cheapest camping holiday ever. It was, you know, beans and, you know, all the, like, we use a camp kitchen. And then there was this one day where I said, right, okay, we're going to splash out and we're going to go. It was Monkey Mire. We're going to go into the breakfast, and I'll buy you all like the buffet breakfast. And honestly, their eyes lit up.
How cool is that? Wow. That sounds like an awesome memory.
It wasn't toast, and they were just so excited. And I, you know, I had to say, you know, take the packets of Nutella out your pockets. You can't take them. It was so funny. We were so excited. But, you kind of think like, oh, you know, how nice would it be to have just gone there and not worried and gone in every morning and eaten dinner every night in the thing. But, you know, I think they'll definitely remember the break anyway, you know.
Providing that experience, I think, will provide more value than you may give it credit for right now. Yeah. It's I love hearing those little family holiday stories, and that, I think they're packed with goodness. That's that's for sure. And I'm interested as well to dive into what are some of the biggest parenting joys that come to mind for you, Karen?
Obviously, story time. You know, when they're little. And they just have that beautiful innocence, and they just say what they think. You know, they just look so cute when they're little as well. They're just so, like, you just want to squish them, and you know, they're just so lush. And you know, being so proud and watching their achievements and being proud for them, being excited for, you know, what they're looking forward to. And for me as well, it's just now, it just like little moments. And I know it sounds lame, but like my son is 14, going on 15, barely talks to me now, because he just doesn't talk to anyone. He's a teenager. And the other morning, he made a point of coming back from the garage and said, bye, Mum. And I said, oh, bye, have a nice day. And he went, yeah, you too. And, you know, it was just like, wow. That's amazing. And it just sort of lit up my morning, because he actually said, yeah, you too. You know, it's just that, like, those awesome little things. And I think, yeah, just those, like I say, the little moments, and the, you know, when they smile and they say, oh, thanks, or, you know, and you feel like it's what you're doing is obviously worth it, or when they are getting something from it.
It sounds like those little moments of giving consideration beyond themselves, that, I don't know, like, even I can relate to that. And Oscar's not even three yet. But there is something in those moments of him thanking you or thanking someone else, showing gratitude in some form, giving that consideration beyond themselves, that just, yeah, it fills you up with pride, and I have no idea why, but yeah. it definitely feels that way, doesn't it? And I suppose that going on from that, I'm curious, we've been talking about, I think earlier in the conversation, around generations sort of talking about, oh, I am this way because of my parents or the past generation or whatever it might be. And that seems like it's a common sort of viewpoint in a lot of circles and a lot of communities as well. What type of parenting did you experience as a child?
Well, my parents separated, and it was quite a tense, fraught, and a lot of battles and a lot of arguments. But you know, it wasn't hard. But I went through that feeling of growing up and being a people pleaser and trying to felt like I was keeping the peace. And I'm sure on reflection that my parents never intended for me to be feeling that. But I think as a child, you are in your own world. And I think, like say, studies show the brain that young children, they feel that it's their world and everyone else is in their world. So you instantly feel responsible if something's not right and you're trying to solve it. And so I think I definitely became like this peacekeeper role. And I spent a long time, I think too long, you know, having that sort of blame for my parents. But, you know, like I was saying, you know, about being mindful, and like you were saying, you hand your power over when you do that. And I think it's about, you need to recognize, yes, this has happened and this is how it's impacted me, but how am I actually going to then take what that I've done and then make changes for what I want to see in the future, rather than constantly blaming the past and always using the past as an excuse. Like you say, it's handing over your power and nothing ever changes. So I'm pretty sure my kids are going to be blaming some of their things on me, you know, soon.
yeah, and it's interesting if there's even a way of, I don't know, working with that or navigating through that. I don't know if there's a set way. If someone has that blueprint out there, I'm looking forward to stumbling across it one day, because it's something we see so often, and yet I think it just comes down to being a pattern in terms of whether it's because it is so common around us, whether it's in this society. I'm not sure about other places, but just what I've experienced, it can be so common. And I've been one of those people before as well. And yet it's only been a recent realization that I am in the place that I am right now in this moment with you because of all the choices, the little choices, the big choices, whatever that may be along the journey. I am here because of those choices that I made, and we're making choices all the time, as little as the next word that we want to say. And I think that's underplayed a lot when we are talking about why we are the way we are. And I honestly see it as just a pattern. And the more we can interrupt that pattern, the more of a chance we have at evolving and changing. Because before we can evolve or change, we need to interrupt those patterns that have us going down that path that we are going down as well. And just on the parent sort of subject, in terms of the parenting that you experienced as a child, what learnings do you feel like you've taken from your parents?
I would say I took on the hard work mantra, and if you want something, you're going to have to go out and get it. And, you know, I actually did. There was no way I was going to not do what I wanted to do. So I worked to get it. You know, I had two jobs at college. I had two jobs through uni. I financed myself. I always worked through every holiday. You know, I made sure that if I wanted to do something, then I went out and I got the money and I made myself do it. You know, I paid for my own driving lessons. I made sure I had money to go out on the weekend with my friends, you know, and I think they did teach me the ability to be independent and also quite strong as well. So, you know, I think that willingness to just let me get on with it actually made me a really quite independent and strong person. So.
I think I was on mute there. Credit to mum and dad. That's really cool. I appreciate you sharing that. If you could transport back in time, so we're going to go back in time now. If you could transport back in time with one piece of parenting advice for your pre-parent self, what would that advice be?
Okay, I think the biggest advice that I would give my pre-parent self is don't let too much in of what other people tell you you should be doing. People are very quick to advise and to give their opinion and their perspective. And this is too easy to start putting that into right and wrong. And you start to become that critic of yourself of I'm wrong because I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that and I should be doing this and I should be doing that. And then you start to judge yourself as a parent. And actually, when you look at it, all you're doing is you're actually judging yourself against somebody else's opinion of what they think you should be doing based on their experiences and their view on the world. And it's too easy to really beat yourself up and feel really bad about yourself when you're doing the very best job you can, when other people, you let that in. And I'm back to another quote, but another thing I saw was this statement about a boat doesn't sink because of the water around it. The boat sinks because the water that gets let in through the holes. And it kind of is something that is really important, because what you don't let in and let things get to you, and be really, really aware that what people try to really think about, why is that person saying that? Is that really true? Is that my truth? Is that my reality? Or are they just giving their opinion? In which case you can thank them very kindly for sharing with you. And, you know, that's really great. Thanks for that. You don't have to be rude, but just, you know, decide what you're prepared to let in and don't let that bring you down and sink your ship. So that's my final advice.
I love that. I love that. That sort of sent me on a tangent just when you were talking about that, around we all have this purpose, or we all usually have a want at any moment in our lives, like a want for something or want to move towards something. And there's moments that we feel lost and we don't have that, but there's usually those moments. And I feel like when we have those wants, we are so clear and we have so much clarity. And then we tend, well, this is what I've done in the past, we tend to start to put all these shoulds around that want. Like, okay, so if I want to move towards that, I should do this and I should have to do that and I should do this and I have to have this. And in my experience, it clouds it so much as well, and can take you away from that starting point or that core want or that core purpose. Is that something that you faced in life as well?
Yeah. You know, you set yourself rules, don't you? You create these rules that quite frankly are unnecessary, and they're part of the reason that you get held back and you get frustrated. And you know, I think hindsight is an amazing thing, and that's why, and I you know I paying it forward, as Karen Thompson said on my LinkedIn post the other day, we often say, if I knew then what I know now, then but you can't go back in time for yourself, but what you can do is pay it forward. And so, you know, credit to you for this podcast, because you're giving existing parents the opportunity to pay it forward. So, yeah, well done to you.
Thanks, Karen. It's something I think you can link with what you said earlier around actually taking those learnings and matching those thoughts and those theories with some form of action. And I feel like when we usually hear that, like action, we usually go towards, oh, we're building Rome within a day. It doesn't have to be like that. That's the thing, like that we can often get confused with. We take action and we think it's this massive thing. It can just be those small little steps, but it can be writing it down. It can be telling a learning or to someone else to embed that even further. It can be, if you're talking business, it can be a simple phone call. It can be an email. It doesn't have to be massive. It just has to be some form of action. And credit to you for pointing that out in terms of being able to pay it forward and move forward. The key to that, I think, is just those little actions and consistency, and just keep building those actions over and over again. And another part I would say with that, I think, is being able to recognize progress in all its forms. And when we think of progress, we usually think of big wins, losses, success, and how it's painted day to day in certain parts of our society. We see it as this set thing. It's making big wins, it's earning lots of money, whatever it might be. Whereas I think progress isn't just confined to that. I think progress can be recognized in our failures and falling forward. And progress doesn't have to be that massive win, that massive goal ticked off. It can just be just being able to recognize what you've made progress on in that day. And it's not just one way, I don't think, anymore. And as soon as that even comes into your mindset or your approach, to be able to to sort of buy into that, it's almost like these shackles are broken in terms of, like, I have freedom to try different things, to take on different perspectives from day to day, whatever it might be. That gives you a real sense of freedom, I think, as well. This has been an awesome chat, and there are still a few things that have just bobbed up. So we might have to look at a 2.0 at some point if you're interested.
Revisit some of those points.
Definitely. I really appreciate your time here. And just to finish off with a couple of questions, I'm curious to know, what are you loving about parenting right now, Karen?
I'm loving that I'm able to do things with my kids, and that I'm aware of, I've got more power, and just being mindful has given me that more power and control over what's happening, and not feeling like everything's happening to me.
I loved how you said that before, happening for me, not to me. That's really cool. Well, we always finish off our Sounding Board Parenting episodes with a segment called Time to Plug Off. And basically, this is a rapid fire, four-pronged question approach of, how can our listeners find your work? Where can we find your work? Are you on social media? And what's next for you as well?
Okay, so you can find me on LinkedIn. So any professionals that would love to share your story, share what you do, and to be able to engage the next generation by passing on your learnings and in your business, in your role, we're working with trainers, and we're sharing that through case studies and live discussions and interviews and tutorials. So obviously we can't achieve that without everybody getting involved. So the more people that step up and help with that, then the better that will be. And it's going to be an amazing resource. If you want to obviously buy the book, it's Stan Lee and Jim on a Proper Adventure, and that's available on Amazon. And the other thing, I guess, just engagingeducation.com.au, we are also looking for incredible women and male role models for our Be the Difference series, which we're launching next year. So if you are or you know an incredible role model, or you can have some skills to share with the next generation and help them, then please get in touch and I can tell you a little bit more about that project.
That is awesome. I will definitely be directing a few people your way, I think, in the near future. Karen, this has been amazing. I'm grateful for the time and energy that you've given to the Sounding Board Parenting podcast today. And I hope you've got some value out of it as well.
Yep, it was amazing. It's great to reflect. Thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity. And yeah, I think it's great what you're doing.
Thank you for listening. Let us know if anything stood out for you during the chat. As the new pod on the block, it would be awesome if you look out for us and share this episode with someone that you think may be interested. While you're at it, why not head to our socials and share some love with a like, follow, or comment? Keep an eye out for the next pod drop. Big thanks to Stilo Media for producing this piece of art we call Sounding Board Parenting. From our hearts to yours, we hope you're making progress on something that you love and makes you feel alive. Remember, this can go anywhere.